Just talk momentarily. Okay, good evening, everyone. And this is the third part of the three-part series, Pause and Reflect, before Rosh Hashanah. Just to clarify, I think I might have made a bit of confusion. We've been advertising another event tonight, which is still happening, of course, happening at 8 o'clock. And that's Rosh Hashanah Power Talks. We're going to have five speakers from here, locally and overseas, giving 10 minutes each on the power of the upcoming days, which will be amazing. So I'm going to keep this one a little bit brief tonight and then give you a little break. I'm going to turn off the Zoom and just come back in the same link. That's at 8 o'clock, but I thought we'd still do our little pause and reflect session that we started 2 weeks ago, and this is the last one before Rosh Hashanah. So it's less than a week to Rosh Hashanah now. It's like home stretch, special week. It's going to be a very different Rosh Hashanah, but of course, one that we can still, or particularly this year, one that we have to really stop and reflect. In fact, I think this Rosh Hashanah will have a lot of time and space to think and reflect, because people have less people at home. People won't be in a very big social setting at shul. And therefore, there's much more time to actually reflect on what is going on. So I want to share with you tonight as something to think about, a Kabbalistic idea. And I thought of it because tonight in the Jewish calendar is the 25th of Elul, which traditionally we understand it to be the day that the world was created. What does that mean? You know, the Chumash, the Torah tells us that the world was created in 6 days. Idea of the 6 days of creation. The sixth day is the one that Adam and Eve were created on, the human being was created on. And that's the day we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, which is interesting because in Rosh Hashanah, we normally talk about it in our prayers. We talk about Rosh Hashanah being the birthday of the world. And yet it's actually not the birthday of the world. The birthday of the world is tonight. Tonight and tomorrow, the 25th of the month of Elul. So it seems strange, actually, that we would make Rosh Hashanah on the day that the human was created, as opposed to the day that the world was created. Particularly, we refer to it as the Hayom Harat Olam. Today is the birthday of the world. So, there's so many ways to approach this, but let me just share with you this idea. We know that one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is crowning God as King, because we are taught mystically that the relationship that God has with the world is one of kingship, malchut. Now, what does that mean? Why is the relationship that God has with the world one of malchut, one of kingship? To understand that the attribute of malchut, the attribute of kingship in Kabbalah, is synonymous with the attribute of dibur, speech, communication. Now, you've heard me say this many times, that words, right, words don't have anything of their own, which means words, by definition, are those things that collect information or collect emotion and then push them forward, right? Yet they're the most powerful tool, because we know that when we speak about something, we communicate something, it becomes clearer. When we communicate an emotion, it becomes stronger. And yet the words themselves are not, it's not the words that's so powerful, it's what's in the words, the content that's in the words, yet the words carry the content in a much clearer and deeper way. Same is true with kingship. What is a leader? What is a good leader? Is a good leader someone who is very clever? No, not necessarily. There are many people who are extremely intelligent, extremely smart, but they're not good leaders. They don't relate to other people. So you can have someone who's a brilliant academic, absolute genius, and yet cannot lead, because the brilliant genius is so brilliant, but he's in his own world, or she's in her own world. You can have someone that's an incredibly good person, but not a one that's able to implement that and to bring it forth to other people. So the king, of course, has to be a talented person. The king is a special human being. The king must have good intelligence. The king must have good emotion. The king must be outstanding and achieve excellence in every part of the human layer of behavior and emotion and intelligence. Yet, it is not that strength of cognition and emotion that makes him or her a good leader. Or to use the analogy of the word kingship. What makes a person a good king or a good leader is the ability to take that intelligence that is so outstanding and perhaps detached from others, to take that emotion that is so healthy and to process it in a way where it's able to relate to others. In other words, the way Kabbalah explains it is the following. A melech, a king, is someone who is an incredible person, someone who's head and shoulders above the rest of the nation, but yet is able to relate to the nation, is able to lead the nation. When God created the world, he became a melech. God is infinitely detached from the finite world. God is transcendent in the extreme. And yet God chose that there should be a world. He chose to create a universe that is limited and finite, and God could communicate and God could relate to and engage with that existence of finiteness and limitation. And how does the process work? So I mentioned before that the concept of leadership is very similar to the concept of communication. So let's explore that for a moment. If I think something, right? We know that there's two ways to express myself. I can express myself in thought, I can be thinking about something, or I can talk about something. Sometimes when I have a thought of an intense emotion, or have a thought of a brilliant idea, that thought is within myself. That thought is the way I'm absorbing it. It's the way it exists in my reality, in all of its intensity. Now, how come if I want to communicate an idea to you, it will take me half an hour to communicate to you something that I've thought about in 1 second? Because when I think about something, it is at completely different levels. It's in my reality. It's in my world. It's detached. It's detached from anything outside of me. And if I would, it would be impossible for me to shift the intensity of my thought and transport it into your world. If I try to do that, and there are people that try to do that because they're not good communicators, it is always all over the place. It's too intense. It overwhelms the other. It's not orderly, it's not structured, it's not communicated in an organized fashion, and the recipient doesn't get it, just it's all over the place. At best, it just overwhelms the person listening, doesn't know what you're talking about. So, you know, often we find a person gets very, very excited and tries to communicate that excitement to someone else. It needs a pause, it needs structured speech. Why? Because what is the process of speech? And the same thing is with process of leadership. It is a two-part opposite process. This is why leadership is such an incredible thing. It's a two-part process. I'll use the terminology of Kabbalah. It is a process of what we call tzimtzum, and it's a process of gilui. In other words, tzimtzum means to hold back, to hide. If I'm thinking, I'm very excited about something and I have this most intense thought process, if I want to communicate it to you, I need to first dilute it. I need to structure it. I need to put it into many words, many paragraphs, many sentences, where each sentence brings another point. I need to tone it down. I need to hold back the intensity. I need to, if it's someone that's less intelligent than me or someone that's a child or a student, I have to break down even more. I have to hold back that which cannot be communicated to someone who's on a lower level so I don't overwhelm them. If it's a very big professor talking to a very young child, that process of tzimtzum has to be great. It's to hold back whatever cannot be transferred to the recipient. And that part that could be transferred to the recipient needs to be broken down into an analogy, into a parable, into an imagery, into a structured way of talking, so that eventually it could be communicated to the recipient, to the student, to the child, to the other person. So the first step one is the concept of tzimtzum, holding back. especially again if the giver and the receiver are on different levels. Well, so what's the purpose of holding back? The purpose of holding back when I want to communicate something is not because the holding back, that process, what we call the process of tzimtzum, is not for the, it's not an end in itself. It's not for the purpose of concealment. It's not for the purpose of holding back. It's for the express purpose of gilui, which is revelation. Because I want my student to understand, that's my end game. My end game is to reveal ideas to my students. The end game is to relate to those outside of me. That's the end game. To achieve that end game, I first have to hold back. I have to sift. I have to filter. I have to structure. And then slowly communicate it out. So it's called in Kabbalah, Tzimtzum Bishvil HaGilui, holding back with the intent of revealing. When God created the world, he did the same thing. When God created the world, God so willed, for whatever reason, to create a world which is a world of limitation. It's a world of finiteness. It's a world of darkness. It's a world which is mortal and mundane. It's a world which completely hides the infinite presence of God. That's what the world is. It's a place that is concealing of the infinite presence of God by design. Why? Because God wanted to be invited into that environment. God wanted to reveal himself ultimately in that finite mortal world. He wanted his presence to be invited in to a place where he's not obvious. He wanted the light of the divine to shine in a world of darkness. He wanted sparks of the infinite transcendence of God to come down to the finite, concealed world. You know, it's interesting in Hebrew, the word for world is olam. Like we say, melech ha'olam, God is king of the universe. The word olam in Hebrew also means leha'alim, to hide, to hold back. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of the holding back? The purpose of the holding back was to create the space to have a finite existence. But the purpose was then to draw down the transcendent God into the finite existence. So the purpose of the holding back was ultimately to reach revelation. If there was no holding back, there could never be a finite existence. There could never be a relationship with the other. There could never be a relationship from God to the world, because the infinite presence of God filled all of existence before the world was created. And there was no room, Kabbalah tells us, no space to create a finite existence. It is only by holding back, as we know in Kabbalah, the concept of tzimtzum, by holding back his infinite light, by holding back his infinite presence, that was able to make space for a finite existence to which he could relate to and he could ultimately reveal himself in. Why am I telling you all of this? Because these two stages took place in the following way. Stage one was tzimtzum. Stage one was concealment. Concealment was in the first day of creation. That's what happened. God created a finite existence where there was no revelation. There was just a world. When does revelation begin? When does the process of revelation begin after the concealment? When the human being is created. The human being with his soul, the divine soul, is responsible for drawing the revelation of God into the world. You know, it's fascinating that, again, this is a long discussion, but it's fascinating that God has two primary names, Hashem and Elohim. Elohim, we know, is the name, Kabbalah tells us, of concealment, of the ability of God to hold back. If you look in the 6 days of creation in Bereshit, you will only find the word Elohim. And Elohim said, let there be a world. Elohim said, let there be light. Elohim said, let there be trees and so on. Because the 6 days of creation was creating a world of concealment, creating a world where God is hidden, a world of darkness, for the purpose, again, the tzimtzum, but for the purpose of gilui, the holding back for the purpose of revelation. But when the human being was created, when Adam and Eve were created and have a soul, a divine soul, it's only then that you find the name of Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, the Yem of Hashem, which is the name that represents the omnipresence and omnipotence of God, the transcendence of God, the infinity of God. And that's the part where you start bringing God into the world. You start revealing the transcendence of God into the world. Let's go back to our original question. The world was created tonight on the 25th of Elul, but the human being was created on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, concealment was created on the 25th of Elul. Revelation begins on Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah is specifically on the day that the human was created, because the purpose of creation is not concealment. The purpose of creation is revelation. And here's the point to ponder and to think about as we come to Rosh Hashanah. As we come to Rosh Hashanah, we face a new year. I just want you to think about this for a few moments. We come to a new year where there's going to be new energy, new creation, freshness, purity, renewal. We have to think about how we approach the new year. We have to think about what are we going to be in the new year? Are we going to be part of the concealment, or are we going to be part of the revelation? In other words, are we just going to be part of the statistic of creation, another physical, material, finite being that actually hides and conceals the presence of God? Or are we going to be the person who's responsible for revelation, living a life of meaning and purpose, living a life of spirituality, living a life where we can introduce values, morality, godliness, holiness, spirituality into the world? That's the question we have to ponder. What are we going to be doing? Are we part of the concealment program, or are we part of the revelation? Obviously, the answer is, as human beings, we are part of the revelation mission. That's why we were created in Rosh Hashanah. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. That's why we celebrate the creation of the world, particularly on Rosh Hashanah. Because there's no purpose to the world. There's no purpose just to have concealment. The purpose ultimately is to bring the infinity of God, the transcendence of God, into the physical and the material world. But it's our choice if we want to be part of that process. So as coming to Rosh Hashanah, part of our commitment, of course, God is going to hear our prayers and he's going to bless us with all the good things. But our commitment and our reflection and our progress going into the new year is to remember and to reflect, to pause, as we can do this year in Rosh Hashanah greatly, because we'll have time to do it. We're not going to have all the hustle and bustle and the social interaction that we normally have, which we want to have, but we're not going to have it this year, it looks like. So we can actually really think and reflect of us going into the year, who are we? Are we just a creation of the first day of creation, a part of the concealment process, or are we ready to engage in the revelation process of bringing God into the world, revealing living values, meaning, and purpose? So just to clarify, as I said in the very beginning, I'm going to stop there because I wanted to make it a little bit shorter today. We're going to stop now the series for the next few weeks. Hopefully after the Chagim, we'll start again in some form. But as I said, I'm doing this because we do have another program tonight in 25 minutes. At 8 o'clock, we have power talks, five power talks of 10 minutes each from people here in Sydney and overseas. It's going to be really fascinating to understand and to tap into the power of the upcoming days. So I invite you all, I'm going to go off the Zoom now, but I invite you all to come back in about 20 minutes. I'll restart the meeting, same link. And we're able to enjoy that powerful hour. In the meantime, have a wonderful evening. And shalom to Rabbi, if I don't see you in the next session.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All the best.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thanks.
Now, Chava.
You too.
Thank you.